always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Does the president still believe that the temporary pier is a viable platform to get aid into Gaza?
Absolutely. As a supplement, okay, it was never intended to supplant what you can do on the ground through trucks and getting those crossings open. We said that from the get-go. We also said it's going to be tough. It's been tough. Weather plays a role. I mean, Mother Nature has a say here, and the Eastern Med, even in the summertime, can be a pretty rough place, and that's what's happening right now. But can it be a force multiplier? Can it add to? Absolutely. And I think they've so far gotten more than 1,000 metric tons in just off the temporary pier alone, which, you know what, considering the weather, considering the complexity of doing it that way, the multi-node stop you have to do to move from ship to pier to truck to ground, that's still an impressive record so far.
4:30 on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, and the big news today, if you have not heard, President Donald Trump was convicted on all 34 charges in his so-called quote-unquote hush money trial. You want to keep listening to us at 4:45. We'll have Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey on to discuss that case. But now we're going to switch here to world affairs, some military news. On the line is our favorite military analyst,
Steve Bucci, visiting fellow for Special Ops at the Heritage Foundation.
Oh, yes. What were you about to ask me?
Do you expect me to talk?
Steve, welcome to the show. You heard that clip there about the $300 million pier that is breaking up in the sea there. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the big news of the day here about President Trump being found guilty. Tim and I both have said that this makes our country look like a banana republic. This is not the America that we grew up in. Our adversaries around the world, what are they thinking when they see this type of political prosecution of a former president?
Well, they're probably scratching their heads. They recognize this is not the norm that we have lived in America before. And to be frank, a lot of times, at least the leaders of other countries pay attention to the details of these kind of controversies even more than we do, because to them, it is really relevant that, you know, if America goes off the rails, that's a bad thing for everybody. So I think there's a lot of confusion in the world, particularly when you hear, you know, different legal experts talking about how strange the conduct of the trial was. You know, the idea that for these things to become actual crimes, they had to be connected to some crime predicate, that and the judge gives them advice. Well, you don't have to agree on what the predicate is. It could be different things to different people. But it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like our legal system. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a lawyer, so I think when your AG comes in, I think it's going to be probably a lot more accurate a discussion than for me. But as a citizen looking at it, it's a head-scratcher, and I think it's got to be more so for our friends and our adversaries overseas as they wonder, you know, what the heck is going on in America today?
Yeah, Steve, to follow up on that point, I think you're looking at it, Steve, the way most people are. I am a recovering attorney, and I actually used to be a prosecutor, and so, you know, I probably know a little bit more than the average duck. But I'm just trying to think about what people like you, Steve, and others who don't know all the intricacies of a prosecution must be thinking, because that's what most people are going to think. And Steve, you can comment on what people around the world are probably thinking. Steve, what about all of the tin pot dictators and the third world banana republic despots? They're probably looking at the U.S., shrugging their shoulders and going, well, so much for the world's greatest superpower and land of freedom and liberty. They're no better than us anymore. They're going to persecute their political adversaries just like we do. That's a pretty dangerous place for the U.S. to be in. But if you take a 35,000 foot look, that's probably what a lot of them are thinking today, right?
Yeah, you know, people like Vladimir Putin are going to look at it and say, well, I'll tell you what, America is not going to be able to throw shade on our elections anymore because they are doing exactly the same stuff that we do. So the moral high ground that we have always had with regards to the conduct of elections and the actions before and after elections is gone. It's been completely demolished by what the Dems have done. And, you know, when you have Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who says out loud what they're thinking, well, all of these trials, it's just like having an ankle bracelet on Trump so he can't go out and campaign. So, I mean, she stated what most of us believed was that these things are not about legal process. It's not about crimes. It's about lawfare against former President Trump and an effort to hamstring him so he cannot campaign effectively for the coming presidential election. And that's just, you know, to put it in a more street sense, it's a crappy way to do business. It means you don't feel that your candidate can beat him head to head, so you've got to, you know, hobble him so he can't really run. And that's, it's just, you know, it's going to cost us in the long run of credibility and the as you say, the moral high ground that we've always had with regard to our election process.
Speaking with Steve Bucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Steve, the $350 million pier that we have built in Gaza to try to get humanitarian aid into the refugees there, that pier has been destroyed. We're learning that that pier cannot work in waters over 3 feet high, I think. The waves there in that area are known to be 4 feet and above. This is a monumental failure. Who's to blame for this?
Well, I mean, ultimately, President Biden's to blame and his military advisors who said, yeah, boss, we can do this. but it's, you know, look, I feel badly for my engineer colleagues in the military who, you know, trying to do this kind of operation is a pretty Herculean task. But it is dependent on the sea state, on the type of beaches. That sort of very specialized equipment doesn't work everywhere. And I think, you know, I'm positive that they advised President Biden and the Secretary of Defense that these were possibilities, that this could break down. But they were so determined to virtue signal and to show that they were doing stuff to get food into to the Palestinians when, frankly, the Israelis were scratching their head and saying, you know, this stuff is going through these points into Gaza. Where it's going once it gets in there, that's not on us. That's on Hamas, because Hamas was stealing this stuff. And then we find out after the military engineers build this giant thing for this extraordinary amount of money, and we offload the first couple of shipments, and our folks on the ground, Americans on the ground watching it, saying, look, we have no idea where any of it went. This many tons went in, but everybody is saying, well, we didn't get any food, and it's because we know Hamas stole it all, just like they steal it from all the other points where humanitarian aid comes in. And now that the whole thing is broken up, it's one, we've wasted a very valuable piece of equipment that, put in a different situation, would have done its job well. And two, we really didn't help anybody. You know, listening to Admiral Kirby and the White House spokesperson talking about, well, it's really this is a success. You know, if you don't want to call it a success, you can do that. But we fed people. Well, just last week they were saying we don't have any idea where any of the aid went. So we wasted a bunch of money, we put people's lives at risk, and now the result is we've destroyed a piece of valuable equipment and we didn't really help anybody very much. So it's kind of a big mess. and the administration owns it. Nobody made them do this. They said, oh, we've got a suggestion. We'll fix this problem. Not so much. Hmm.
Steve, in moving on to other notorious subjects, the UN, which I'm going to ask, part of my question is, do they serve any purpose anymore? The UN is being rather universally slammed for holding a meeting to honor the recently deceased, commonly referred to Butcher of Tehran, the Iranian president who went down in the helicopter crash last week. Many calling it absolutely outright offensive. The UN Security Council held a minute of silence to mourn his death. I mean, Steve, the concept of the UN was good, but in the beginning, but like everything created by government, it seems to have gone completely off the rails. For those who say this is no big deal or don't worry about it, how offensive was this truly for the UN to do this? And back to my earlier question, does the UN serve much of a notable purpose anymore in the world for freedom, liberty, democracy, and constitutional republics?
Well, going to your first question, it is offensive to honor this man. You know, anybody dies in an accident, that's a shame, okay. But in this case, Raisi was a bad person. Mm-hmm. He holds the record for having hung more demonstrators, tortured more demonstrators, incarcerated more demonstrators than any president in Iran's history, hence his nickname, the Butcher of Tehran that you mentioned. And to sit there and act like, oh no, he's a wonderful guy, what a shame that he died, when there are the expatriate communities, Iranian communities around the world, were holding festivals of celebration over it, and even people inside Iran, where it's really dangerous to do this sort of thing, they were celebrating as well, not everyone, but, you know, goodly numbers of people, particularly those who lost family members due to the decisions and the actions of this man. And to sit there around the world and in a place like the UN and give him, you know, give condolences, to offer a moment of silence, he is not a hero. The closest thing we've come to, and you guys are close to this one geographically, is the recent announcement that, you know, oh, we need to honor the icon Michael Brown. You know, like he was a hero. He tried to attack a policeman right after he had robbed a convenience store. That man, you know, that officer did not execute Brown. Brown attacked him, and that officer protected himself, as was found out by the Obama Department of Justice. But today they're celebrating him as a, quote, hero. And the same thing with Raisi. People's memory can be very selective, and in this case it's wrong. Now getting to your second question, sorry, I got a little
off. That's okay.
you know, does the UN serve any purpose now? At the very least, you have to say a lot less of a purpose than it may have in the past. I think they are off the rails on so many things. Mm-hmm. Their people have hijacked organizations that were meant for good, and now they're using them terribly. Israel just made the decision to expel the UN, UNRWA, from Jerusalem because they've had employees who were acting as agents of Hamas. And you can't tell me that the leadership of that organization didn't know that. But that doesn't seem to be a problem. The only problem that's there is what the Jews do. And I just can't countenance that. And I don't think we should be paying the billions of dollars we pay to the mm-hmm. UN every year mm-hmm. for it to be a platform to attack the United States and attack our allies when they say nothing about Russia in Ukraine. They say nothing about, the Uyghurs in China. It's just, it's ridiculous, the selectivity of their outrage. And the UN is a prime example of it.
Steve, Tim, and I probably have five more questions each for you, but as you mentioned, we do have Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey coming up, so we want to give him plenty of time as well. But, you know, we always love speaking with you, sir, and we look forward to speaking with you again next Thursday. Steve Bucci, visiting fellow of the Heritage Foundation. You can reach him at S. Bucci, B-U-C-C-I, on Twitter or X. Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and I don't mind ceding the time to the Attorney General. I think that's a, he's a great guest to have on.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it so much. We agree with that. Yes, 444, and Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey will be back with us talking about this Trump verdict, found guilty on all 34 counts. We'll get his thoughts next on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.